With your latest news, I'm April Cummings. The debate on the defense bill wrapped up in the Legislative Assembly today, with the premier expressing thanks to some of the opposition members who he said supported the idea behind the bill and the Cayman Regiment, providing valuable contribution to the debate.
In some instances, they did quite correctly point out areas where they felt that there was overreach and the potential for decision-making by the governor, whoever he or she may be, with respect to the deployment of the regiment.
Premier the Honourable Alden McLaughlin says a number of issues raised will be addressed in committee stages.
We've had discussions with His Excellency the Governor and his office, and indeed he has had discussions with the Foreign and Commonwealth Office about some of these concerns.
Early in the afternoon, legislators met with the Attorney General to outline some of the concerns, and as of our news deadline, the Premier was outlining those proposed changes. While the Cayman Islands borders are still closed to commercial air traffic and cruise lines, the islands officially today announced the launch of the Global Citizen Concierge Program, a tourism initiative designed for digital nomads looking to take advantage of the flexibility provided by remote work, with an added bonus of being in paradise. Radio Cayman's Dion Anglin has more.
Tourism officials say as thousands of corporations opt to keep their workforce at home for the foreseeable future, eligible professionals and families can upgrade their home offices significantly by choosing to live and work remotely in the Cayman Islands for up to 2 years by acquiring a Global Citizen Certificate. The program formally launches today under the umbrella of the Cayman Islands Department of Tourism in conjunction with the Ministry of Tourism and supporting government departments. The Honorable Deputy Premier and Minister of Tourism, Moses Kirkconnell, says the Global Citizen Concierge provides the perfect opportunity for remote workers to live the life of their dreams on our idyllic shores and amongst our Caymankind people, describing the islands as a safe haven from the pandemic. He says remote workers can now spend up to 2 years living and working in the Cayman Islands, reinvigorating their 9-to-5 schedules with Cayman kindness and elevating their work-life balance with the sun, sand, sea, and safety in Cayman. There are requirements. Among them, individual applicants must make a minimum household income of $100,000 and must provide proof of employment with an entity outside of the Cayman Islands, as well as a police clearance and proof of insurance. The Global Citizen Certificate fee for up to two people is $1,469 per year and $500 per dependent per year. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Dion Anglin.
The application is online at the visitcaymanislands.com website, and they have set up a call center as well. Inspectors from the Office of Education Standards are conducting their annual school inspections. This week, they visited ABC Preschool, and OES Inspector Kenesha Forsyth McKenzie tells CIGTV one of the first steps in the process is the notification of schools 2 to 3 weeks ahead of the visit.
The teachers can expect the interaction with the inspectors to include us highlighting the strengths of their current practice, as well as to also give them that critical analysis of those areas that they need to improve in. And in so doing, we expect that the impact on the children during the teaching and learning process will also improve over time.
During the inspection, the team looks at documentation, surveys parents, and carries out classroom observations. Senior Inspector Althea Edwards Booth.
We have built into our model a pre-inspection visit. What this does is allows the inspector to have a feel, a context of the center before the actual inspection. It also provides an opportunity for the operator to ask questions and to get comfortable with the process.
Visit oes.gov.ky. This Friday, you are invited to attend the 20th annual Silent Witness March, which is held to remember and to honor those who have suffered as the result of domestic violence and bullying. The march starts at 3:30 p.m. on the steps of the Government Administration Building and is hosted by several public and private organizations, including members of the Alliance to End Domestic Violence.
When you look at the number of domestic violence cases in the Cayman Islands, it is rather frightening. And for a small island, that that is a big problem. So what we wanted to do is really to offer support to those persons affected by domestic violence with the ultimate vision of eradicating domestic violence within the Cayman Islands.
Marisha Spencer from the Cayman Islands Crisis Center says since 2003, the organization has sheltered 615 women with children and 41 women and 25 children in 2019 alone. Carlene Bramwell with the Gender Affairs Unit says the alliance helps the country provide a coordinated response for those living with domestic violence.
When a victim or a perpetrator for that matter comes into the system, there are a whole host of things that they have to think about. Issues of housing come up. If I leave the situation, do I have financial support? That comes up. If I leave the situation, if I stay in this situation, then how am I going to cope throughout with all of the basic needs of life, essentially? So what we wanted to do was to make sure that there is a clear pathway so somebody knows, okay, these are the things I need to consider. This is my step one, step two, step three, etc.
If you'd like to find out more about Cayman's Alliance to End Domestic Violence, you can email alliance@ndv.ky or call 623-4827. The Health Services Authority is looking for a few good men and women.
We're going to have a recruitment fair for a lot of the open positions that we currently have at the HSA. Mm-hmm. Most people will see that we often are advertising for posts because we have a lot of positions to fill currently. And it will be held on Friday. Mm-hmm. It will be held at our Hibiscus meeting room, and join us and spend some time with us and tell us about any opportunities you're looking for.
Chief Human Resources Officer Samantha Bennett tells Radio Cayman the event will be from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Attendees are reminded that masks are mandatory throughout all HSA facilities. You're also encouraged to download and complete an HSA application before the event. You can do that at hsa.ky. Older Persons Month continues to offer exciting events for the Cayman community in October. Since the beginning of the month, organizers have teamed up with CIGTV to present life stories. Sigrid Menchard is with the Elderly Services Unit.
We videoed older persons together with the Cayman Islands National Archive. We picked specific locations that will be interesting to see on TV as well. So five series, and they've been showed on every Thursday at 6:30. And this Saturday, we will be showing them again in the library, in the Georgetown Library as well.
In addition to the life stories, next week we'll also feature a Little Cayman church service, the Cayman Brac talent show, and a concert in West Bay, to name a few. Loy Kellerman from the Department of Children and Family Service tells Radio Cayman the observations also highlight and honor a few select seniors who serve as the month's ambassadors.
And the ambassadors are chosen based on their contributions to society, their community service throughout the years, and also just generally how their community reaches out and interacts with them. So this year, we have seven ambassadors, one for each district in Grand Cayman, one for Cayman Brac, and one for Little Cayman.
This year's ambassadors are the Honorable Mary Lawrence, Norma Scott, Trevor Wattler, Jane Ramoon, Franklin Churchill Bodden, Lucille Douglas, and Margaret Lizzie Powell. And that is your latest local news from Radio Cayman's newsroom. I'm April Cummings.